for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Tuesday afternoon, July the 6th, 2010. Jim Landry is the speaker of this service, teaching on God's Special Operation Forces.
Well, I want to welcome you to the afternoon session. This evening, I want to talk a little bit about military, about your call as a soldier. Each of you are equipped and all the necessary tools to fulfill your destiny God has already bestowed upon you. You might say you are God's special operational forces. Father, we just pray. We need illumination. We need revelation. We need guidance, oh God. We don't want to depend upon ourselves. We serve a God that answers supernaturally. We are no match against the devil without you, Jesus. We don't even want to enter into this battle without you, Jesus. So we humble ourselves today and we pray, God, to receive from heaven, Lord God, the bread of life that will not only make us free, but help us to be able to mentor, to minister to help and assist our brothers and sisters out there that are also wanting to get free. Father, we are disciples. Equip us tonight. Equip us this day, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, I also want to take authority over the powers of witchcraft. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, to bind all powers of witchcraft, all demonic powers of Antichrist, all rebellious spirits, religious spirits, all demonic powers, in the name and the power of that powerful name of Jesus. I pray, Father, to command the iniquity of the enemy to return upon his own head, speaking specifically to the demons only. They love cursing, let cursing return to them. They dig a pit, let them fall in it. But salvation is to the disciples of God. We have the power of God, the almighty name of God. We are children of the Most High. And as one of my brothers from the church corrected me, he said, Pastor, don't call them kids, that means goats. So we the sons and daughters of God, amen. Please allow for a moment for me to share a thought on the use of our nation's special forces. Most of us are familiar with the number of wars that we've faced since 91. I remember in 1990, around July or so, summertime, that the Lord told me that there was going to be a war. He showed me the troops. He showed me the uniforms. And I went to my leadership and I said, God says it's going to be a war in January of 1991. And so when I was awakened that morning and realized that we were in war with Iraq, and of course I had already studied on Iraq because of Nebuchadnezzar and the goddess they served and the peacock, Satanism over there, just from years of study. And trust me, I didn't know a whole lot then, don't know a lot now. For most of us, we realize that as we've grown, the more we've learned, the more we realize we don't know. At the same time, much is given, much is required. And so that was many years ago on that war. I never mentioned that to my deceased pastor who went to be with the Lord. And his wife is currently serving under our ministry. And I think she's 89 or so, wonderful woman of God. Just had wonderful services with her 2 weeks ago. Because the church where she's located and where we were serving is about 6 miles north of where we are. So we oversee those ministries over there too. And also had some background with my dad being a veteran, myself being a veteran, and just many people being veterans over the years. So I got to hear my Uncle Ned, who died many years ago, when he used to cut my hair with these tweezers when he was in the Navy, that pulled all your hair out. And his hand would shake like that. I said, oh, Uncle Ned. And you come out there looking like somebody coming out with some bad blades on the lawnmower, you know what I mean? So I got to hear a lot of military stories when I was coming up, and I don't remember any negative things. The men of God and women of God I spoke to, they were just glad to serve. They didn't talk about what they could do because of education or because of the color of their skin. They were just glad to be Americans. And so we have a lot of special forces that are fighting overseas right now. Many missions that are taking place overseas right now are special force operations. We should pray for our soldiers. I know many of you pray daily for our nation, our secular authorities, as well as our apostolic authorities. And particularly when I pray for our commanders of our troops, and specifically for our troops in combat zones, that's just a special time we need to take out and pray for our soldiers. And then we have so many that have returned, and some have been injured, some have been diagnosed with a demonic power, post-traumatic stress disorders, and all these things, and others are just trying to get that check every month. But anyway, some have some real serious disabilities. And so I was at the VA just last week. I have a lot of, if you search our website, I think with the exception of one person, everybody on my staff are either retired military or served in the military. Now, that didn't mean I picked them that way. That's just the way it fell out. When I started looking, I said, my God. I said, I'm surrounded by soldiers, you know. I said, we must be on the right mission here. The military, Navy SEALs, the Green Berets, Delta Forces, Rangers, and other special operation forces are trained to beat overwhelming odds on every mission they take. And then nothing is like the stuff that's being on TV. I know some of us have a problem moving the tube, but we need to make sure we don't place no evil thing before our eyes, Psalms 107. But anyway, when our regular armed forces are confronted with overwhelming odds, and they have been in past military battles, the special operation forces, so I will refer to them as ops, special ops. The special ops are specially trained in strategic warfare, and they are often brought in to assist. And most countries that have been in war with us, even the current wars that we have and those in the past, have had a special respect for Marine Corps, especially for the special forces. They just had a special kind of respect for that. And I think that over the years, our nation has been in a number of wars, and we have liberated a lot of nations and helped a lot of people. Hello, and others around the world that are liberated today and have different tools and ministries, materials to help make their lives more comfortable. Let me just say that. I'm trying to get away from saying medical stuff because there's more to it than just medical. And so I've met and spoke with a lot of people that are very happy that for the battles that you and I and our fathers and their fathers fought, not only for this nation, but in the nations abroad. And so I don't have a problem with it at all. Each of you, as God's special operation forces, are called into the nation to tear down demonic strongholds. Amen? Mm. We are God's unique fighting forces. And our mission is to unite a relational network of churches, ministries, the raising up of emerging apostolic sons and daughters, special ops leadership, unique fighting forces in the ministry of spiritual warfare, deliverance. Well, the Lord began to share with me deliverance somewhere around 86, 87. Came into the Lord probably in 85. And when I first come into the ministry, I was just so taken, because I was very privileged to come into a ministry that introduced me to this ministry. And that pastor has gone on to be with the Lord, as I mentioned before. And so I had a great privilege of coming in ministers that were in spiritual warfare and seasoned and had great love for the body of Christ. But that wasn't always the case, because I was reared up as a Catholic. Then I was sprinkled, or Methodist, I think around 9, baptized a Baptist at 13, and I think about 22 I was in the Temple of Elijah Muhammad when Louis Farrakhan was a lieutenant in Georgia. No, he probably was in Alabama. And then I got shaved all my hair off and became a Pentecostal. And then one day I just said, I need to repent. I got saved. So God gave me a special love for all of the different groups. So, I mean, I don't, you know, try to straighten nobody out or nothing. I just try to love them. I think love overcome a lot of evil there. And people get to, you know, they want to listen, but they see you ain't really got no antenna up there. Right, wait for them to flash them. So they say something, you pop a bow. Predator, huh? Yeah, okay. All right. But anyway, as I said the other night, I think relationship is before ministry. And I think those that have missed that experience, missed the Father's love, missed the love of apostolic leadership, missed the bonding of coming under a spiritual authority and liking it. I mean, really liking it. Not talking about, well, I'm just over there because God said I need to be under the man of God. I mean, those that really got it and really liked it, it's a total different attitude on their ministries and their development as soldiers for God. We should be having a regional and we should be having a global impact. We should be fulfilling the apostolic dimension mandate of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And the first sign is they shall expel demons. They shall cast out devils. So if we have a real issue with that today, then we might just go ahead and go out with the children. I think they have an ice cream. All right. So I don't think that's the case. Now, we might be at all different degrees of light, okay? Because, you know, I'm at sunlight in some areas, moonlight in some areas, and I'm in starlight in some other areas. I don't have all the truth, but there's some truths that you have that I don't have, and what we're going to have to learn is how to cooperate. But the problem is that those that have don't want to wait for us to cooperate. Okay. All right. And so we just don't believe that God can really touch somebody if we pray for them, that they'll want to listen to what we have to say. So we're just going to have to tell you what we got to say. And that's a type of control. And so you're not going to be a good soldier if you can't take orders and you can't be submissive and you can't prepare yourself to be able to wait for the time and the season when God wants you to express what he has you to say to the man of God. For many years, I taught a team from Indiana, Jeffersonville, Indiana, and they studied under Frank Hammond. And they were passing through the city of Beaumont when I first met them. And they was kind of like checking me out there. And I had a bunch of seats up like this right here. And I switched the seats, one south, one north, one south, one north. And I put workers in there. And I put the people off the streets that was coming in, the prostitutes and the drug addicts. I set them all north. I set the ministers all south. And then I started commanding the spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. And demons was manifest. And the guy told me, man, you sure got a good little act going on. I said, but isn't the act just the real thing? So I know about God protecting the soldiers. And I don't rail the soldiers. I don't laugh at them. Ha, 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 demons, you gone. Sometimes I get a little excited, but I don't play with them. I just say, the Lord rebuke thee. Get out. All right, but at the same time, in the early years, I've seen all this happen. I saw God's provision for his soldiers. He will protect us. You can get scared if you want to, but normally we're scared because we got something we hadn't dealt with in our own spiritual gardens. And some tares was in there when we was asleep. Some of us been asleep after salvation because we didn't accept the whole truth. We accepted certain truths that was convenient for us to accept, and it was, after all, it was fulfilling our destiny, not God's destiny. Jesus came to set the captives free, and each of us, at one time, we were all prisoners of war. We were missing in action. MIAs is the term we use in the military. We were once at peace with our enemy, but our enemy has never been at peace with us. You can play with him, negotiate, compromise all you want to. I can assure you that he is never, ever going to be at peace. So you just well get your attitude changed and decide to go ahead and fight to the death. Because in death in you is in life in Christ. Well, Jesus saved us. He's given us power over the devil. But you're going to have to use the power. Let me warn you, there was a game here a few years back. I'm not really athletically familiar with a lot of things anymore like I used to be. But I do remember that was a national championship, a football team, I believe. I'm going to say 5 to 7 years ago, and it tied. I mean, that was just nothing. You know, you couldn't get anything out of no tie when you got two of the best teams in the nation fighting, and they tied. All right. You can't just say, I plead the blood and hang a bunch of prayer cloths all over the house and anoint all over the place and say, okay, maybe I'll make it tonight. Ooh, brother, I almost didn't sleep last night. They came again. Now, we'll deal with the plead the blood after a while, but anyway, you're going to have to take on an attitude that you already dead and the devil can't kill the man that's already dead. I'm alive through Christ Jesus. You in this thing to win it. We've been talking all weekend about going into glory and glory coming to us and the Lord God raising us up and an apostolic emergence of his forces in the last days, and we get ready to go be with Jesus. And then as soon as it starts happening, we go, duh, I really don't want to face it. So if you're not willing to go on out, be a martyr for Jesus, you're not ready to serve with me. We need people to stand behind us and ready to go out there and say, I'll let the lion bite me first. Don't worry about it, Brother Jim. He might be fooled when he gets to you. Just preach. What happened to them kind of soldiers? I want people, I don't know what they're, go down with me. We're going to go down. Let's go down together. It's just better when two's there right there. We're going to go down. Look, take my head first. You say, oh, that's good while you're talking. Well, yeah, I have to admit that is. But it does help when you got somebody with you right there with you. Man, it's going to be all right. Yeah, man, I know. I'm a little uncomfortable. It's okay, Jim. Let's go. I'll take it first. We ain't even got two people agree right now. We arguing over Baptist and Methodist. Well, I believe that alone. These things shouldn't be in here. You're being mentored and being prepared for spiritual warfare as a necessary element of your ministry. It is not the whole ministry. But without it, I'll assure you, the devil have no mercy. And so if you want to leave that out, I don't have anything up here to tear. Normally I tear a sheet out, but it don't be the Bible. I look down there, both of them I need. What is your attitude towards deliverance? Towards setting the captives free? Are you aggressive? Are you passive? Because you know the devil love passive folk, right? Well, I just want to make sure everything is okay. I don't want to disturb nobody else's aunt beds. Passivity is a very dangerous tool of the enemy. Passivity will tell you, well, we don't need to fight. We got the power of God's blood. We got the power of Jesus in our life. Everything's going to be all right. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. And in World War II, there were many missions that were taken on by the paratroopers. And that was one in particular where the paratroopers were paratrooped behind enemy lines, and the commanding officer sent all of the underlying officers and infantry sergeants and so forth to check the perimeter. And then that was time for a report because they just parachuted in. All of the soldiers came back. All of the officers came back. They surrounded the commanding officer, and they all had the same response. And they said that we are surrounded. Enemy is everywhere. And this commanding officer, no doubt with great wisdom from God, he says, well then, we got the favor. It's on our side now. Because all we got to do is start shooting. We can't miss. All right, well, you didn't get that one. All right, well, there was another one when they went overseas. They parachuted in. And we just shoot because they're coming from all directions. Pow, we can't miss. They're coming at us. That's good. Let's get them. All right, and that was another time when the troops parachuted in, and one of the newer individuals that never went into a mission before, he walked up to the sergeant and he said, hey, sergeant, man, we surrounded. I told the young man, saying, it's all right, son. It's going to be all right. We're supposed to be. We paratroopers. All right, so God has given us a type of paratroopers ministry. He thrusts us behind enemy lines, and he's got us. He got our back. He got our front. He's got everything we needed. He's going to drop it in there, all the provision you need in order to conquer the enemy. Now, if you go to our website, our church website, I think even the international team website, I think I do have some paratroopers on the website. So I'm not just saying this. We live in this thing. Well, in 2 Samuel, let's turn there for a scripture reference in the second book of 2 Samuel. Let me find a chapter, too. Give me a second here. 2 Samuel. Try 22. I'm going to talk just a moment to you on what was King David's attitude when it came to battles. Because if there's just anybody out here right now just complacent and saying, well, this is not for me, error. That's error. Deliverance is the believer's ministry. If someone, that senior lady, had decided, well, her ministry should have been a word of faith, or her ministry should have been just praying for the sick, wouldn't have said, come out of me. 20-some years ago, I might not be here today. Somebody had a heart for the people. And that lady prayed for me. So what was David's attitude? In the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel, verse 35, the scripture says, he teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness had made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps unto me so that my feet do not slip. Remember, he had the same attitude when he killed Goliath. I have pursued my enemies. I've destroyed them. I turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them, wounded them, that they could not arise. Yes, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. David had an attitude for warfare. And it was so wonderfully presented this morning in the message of the five smooth stones. Are you pursuing your deliverance? Are you pursuing your deliverance? My strong man was Goliath. It was the mocker. It was pride. Are you pursuing your deliverance? If you stop short of your promise, how will you be able to go an extra mile for me? If you just compromise where you are in your deliverance, how are you going to be of any advantage or any help to your brothers and sisters that have a need if you already got a come up short attitude about your own deliverance? You remember in Luke, I think it's 17, where the Lord sort of gives a teaching about the unfaithful steward? If I ask you to come out with me and we're going to work in the field out here, and we're going to work around the grounds, and I get five strong men that are ready to work in the hot heat and humidity, and I say, listen, we got to clean this place up. We got 100 square feet out this way, 50 that way. That's all we got. We're going to cut, trim, and whatever we need to do, let's just do that. We ought to be able to finish in 2 hours. I send out the five men. We come back. I say, okay, everything ready. Say, everything's fine. That's fine. I send them to lunch. I go outside. And not checking behind them, just going to my car, and I look and see two of the air conditioning units out there. Freon is low, and they iced up, got ice out there, looked like the North Pole. See, if you have an attitude just to do what you've been told and not want to have an attitude to do more what you've been told, you ain't going to spot because you ain't got responsibility. You might have the ability. You might be accountable. You go, yes, sir, I did what you told me to do. You did do what I said. I didn't ask you to go look at the air conditioner sitting right in your face with ice that big on it. Okay? You had the authority because I delegated your authority, but you're missing responsibility. I cannot teach you responsibility. Each of us have to pray for wisdom. Only God can empower you. I can lay hands all day long and impart every gift that God gave me to impart it to you, but I cannot impart responsibility. So if you start coming up short right now in your ministry on working on you, expect that responsibility will not be one of the essential elements of your leadership or potential leadership in the future. I can guarantee you. Now, I'm not talking about, oh, brother, I don't want to be used right now. Just whatever you want. I'm not talking about humility and not wanting to step out there and make yourself look like you're trying to take over. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're not working on you. And everybody told you. Mama told you. Daddy told you. Your boss told you. You lost 3 jobs. Burned up 4 cars.
That's right.
You got to start working on you.
That's right.
I come out of a pretty bad situation. All right, so I had a lot to work on me. I asked Sister Bert. Oh, that's my wife. That's Jesus. Hello, honey. Oh, well, I don't know. Pursue your enemy. Oh, he going to pursue you? I'll prove it in Scripture in a moment. As a soldier in God's army, we may be surrounded likewise by missiles, by darts of the enemy, but God has given each of us power. He's given us the powerful name of Jesus Christ. God has given us armor. And he's also given us a shield of faith against those missiles, those fiery darts of the wicked. But you're going to have to shoot. You're surrounded. You ought to look at it as an advantage. Every time you throw lead out there, you're going to kill. All right. Great. Okay. Well, we're getting there. I hope you'll still be a friend of mine and a friend of God at the end of this service. Everything that we receive from the Lord, every one of us have had to battle for it. The enemy is always there contesting every believer to their rights, to the promises of God. How will you be prepared to enter into wartime and you routinely forget to wash your hands coming out of the bathroom? There are two, that's just a kind of like an analogy or a parable I'm going to get to here. But anyway, there are too many undisciplined soldiers that want to work, 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 nails all dirty. I ain't talking about you working on a car, because it takes about 2 or 3 days to get that stuff from out of there. I'm talking about every day. We got soldiers going to the bathroom, come out of there like that. Hey, brother, it's good to see you. The urine all over there. Says, excuse me, children outside. Now, I can't train no babies. That ain't my call, but I mean, you know, if you're on my staff, we're going to have a talk. Because that's an unclean spirit. You say, I don't mean that. I just go in there. I'm just, my mind is somewhere else. Anyway, you. Deuce! Come on out there. You want to help serve. I say, yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Well, all right, so you're going to have to get that thing straight before you can get in this war. You're going to have to make up your mind you ain't just going to job. That God created that job for you. You're not working to retire. You're working because God's giving you income for your family. And if you're blessed and you have a retirement, well, so be it. But we never retire because we soldiers of the Lord. We drafted for life. So you got to start working on every aspect of your life. A soldier is not concerned about the affairs of this world. All right? So we don't go to the mall and look at stuff we can't use on the battlefield. We go to the mall, we look for stuff that we can use on the battlefield. So we buying backpacks and water things and how to do this sweet and low. We looking at, but you going to the, okay, well, all right. I'm going to buy a DVD. I got you. All right. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, God is preparing his people to go into the promised land. And we're all familiar with this. I know I'm singing to the choir. Because I saw the hands go up last night. It wasn't but a few people, and then they've been in deliverance longer than me. Well, at least two of them. And so I know that I'm just singing to the choir here, and you don't really want me to sing, trust me. And I'm not really much for humor, so let me get away from that so we can get back to the war, because I think I got something that really should rain on everybody's parade here, including myself. If I stay focused, then something might happen where I have to repent. Amen. And so in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 1, it says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, and you may live. Uh-oh. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. And boy, we got babies at church. I was praying for the mothers this past week. Lord, bless them. Lord God, quick delivery, healthy babies, godly men and women of God. And there you got me praying for my granddaughter to be smiling. I said, I'm praying for y'all husbands. I'm praying for y'all babies. We ain't praying for y'all. I'm praying for they know I got that for them. They'd be smiling. I see them out there smiling. Look, you don't be smiling. They don't want no duh. I mean, man or wife. They don't want nobody out the world. They want godly men and women. They say they tired of hearing us. Would you pray for me? I need a husband. I am 42 years old. I can go to prayer meeting. That's how I met mine. Go to prayer meeting. The Lord said, behold thy wife. I said, what? I thought it was the other one over there. I didn't go up there and say, hey, Bert, I think God told me I was supposed to marry you. We just kept going to prayer meetings. 6 months passed by. One day we was talking. We looked at each other. I said, oh, I love that woman. But the Lord just said, behold thy wife. And she told, a year later, a minister asked, how did the Lord put y'all together? Well, I just said my testimony. We had never discussed it. My wife said, well, the same thing. I was up at the front praising the Lord. And the Lord said, behold thy husband. And I thought that was crazy because you knew Jim. We had a bunch of people going to prayer meetings. Going to church. Going to church. Nobody looking for no wife or no husband. Well, I'm going to cover that in a minute. You know, you got all kinds of people. You got to be watching when you come here. Come here and get all relaxed around one of these single men. We done buzzed you out of here. Well, I was just looking for a husband, Pastor Lamb. I'm so sorry. You over the camp. You let that happen? You let it happen. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Verse 6, it says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments. Uh-oh. Keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. That's three things. Three things necessary to receive God's promises. You got to keep, walk, and fear. Keep what? Commandments. You got to walk in the commandments. You got to fear and reverence the commandments. It's all centered around obedience. The greatest of all command is obey. Brother, you mind? You kept me. I need you to help me outside. Well, look here. I hadn't ate lunch yet. Man, God's going to give you a... You've been praying for your sons and daughters. He's going to feed you. He's going to prosper your family. But you want to go in there and eat a piece of bread. One time they was having a church service. This is before I was saved. I drove up to the back of the church. And see, I'm trying to remember how it happened. And they needed somebody to load a bunch of chairs. I don't know what was going to happen. This would have been over 20-some years ago. And I remember that I didn't have no help because they wanted to go inside the service and do something else. when we needed to load the chairs, and I just thought that was kind of peculiar, you know. But anyway, I don't remember everything about it. I'm kind of free. I don't want to walk in bitterness, but I think it's a good testimony that servanthood should be our ministry, and that servanthood is out of obedience. And sometimes we can't see the trees for the forest. The scripture says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills thou mayest dig brass." God gave Israel specific instructions before entering their promised land. Obedience, separation. So you're going to have to make up your mind that if you got an issue, you're going to have to separate from whatever that issue is. I had got three emails. You ought to see the emails I got this past week. And one of the, no, this would be, this is, it would be last week. "Hello, Brother Landon. We met so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm a friend of so-and-so, so-and-so in Houston, Texas. And I got this individual, and his wife, ex-wife using witchcraft on him and stuff like that. And I know God has placed me and that man together and everything. And he's just a godly man. I'm just trying to help him." I say, email response, "I'm so happy to hear from you again. I have a lot of things going on at this time. I'm going to try to proofread your emails quickly and just respond as quickly as the Holy Spirit tells me what to tell you, what I thought. I'm going to try that." I just said, "I'm going to try that, you know." Well, I do it sometimes, a lot more often than I'm saying. But and so I responded back, you know, I said, "Well, just continue to pray and intercede, and I'm sure God's going to work that out." Got an email back again. "Well, Brother Landry, you don't understand. They've been using witchcraft," and email response back, "break soul ties, arrest the spirits, bind and loose." Then I get another email back. "Well, you know, Brother Landry, we're not married." Okay. So I said, "How do you know the wife is using this on him?" I said, "Okay." Response back. Then the chances are this person is not saved, and you or might be a hindrance to the man's salvation if you're trying to develop a relationship. Separate. Email back. "Thank you, Brother Landon, for helping me. I ain't heard nothing else." The enemy want to use us because we got power to get us to agree with them. All right, well, there's much more to that story, but for the sake of time, I had to narrow that down. But that's basically, essentially, I don't think I returned anything over three sentences in each of the emails that I received from the lady. A very nice lady, but her mind is on the man, not on the man. Okay. The lands that God promised his people were lands flowing with milk, honey, grapes. They even had homes over there already built. And which is a picture to us and to you and I of the house of God. God has given us gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, God's provisions to his church. However, Israel promised lands also came with an extra thing there called the giants. Warriors, men possessed with demon gods. But the Lord has given us the promise, Jesus, the fullness thereof. Well, how many in the church today are possessing the fullness of Jesus? Very few, I can tell you. Very few. Many in the church are asleep, prisoners in the war. You might find this a little challenging to believe, but I'm telling you, some people ain't never heard the message of deliverance. They never heard it. Not what we're talking about. What we're talking about all this week, some people have never heard it. But we are the special armed forces of the Lord. We are special ops, special operational forces. It's the believer's ministry. And you and I are the believers. Praise the Lord. Many of the Christians that you and I are going to minister to are going to be of the belief that all of the spiritual giants were removed at salvation. They were dipped and the spirits all left. Well, I beg to differ. In fact, we know that they are hidden in every crack and crevice that you can find in the human race, and that includes non-believers and believers alike. Jesus has given the church power to go forth clearing the lands of giants, of demons, and we should begin with ourselves. For some reason, this is a problem. The devil knows what's being said here today throughout the services, but he's got creeper crawlers out there that have demonized certain individuals, and all they're going to do, because they don't want to hear the truth that will make them free, they're going to walk around and look around, play with children, take naps. They're going to go and get some business over on the corner and talk about their testimony, try to teach their message over here, but you're the faithful. Psalms 106. Got to give you the scripture. Got to make sure I got it right. I want to show you the basis of your calling. Psalms 101:6 then. This was the basis of the calling of the apostles. You say, Jesus told the 12? I'm going to show you the scriptures for the basis of their election and the basis of your election. It says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Now, trust me, I don't have a judgment, but I am a pastor, and the pastors have a certain amount of range in their compassion for the people that won't see what we see. So you'll see me out there with them, sitting out there in the middle of the day, sweating, trying to win them in. So I'm not just telling you this without working to try to win them. Because the person that worked for me, they had to work hard, because I was worse than Paul. You say, you ain't never killed nobody. Not really, but indirectly, abortion and everything else. And I worked in medical. I pulled plugs on people with doctors overseas. When God saved me, I really did get break down and say I wasn't worthy. And I meant it. I mean, crook. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. Basis of the election. And you are the elected of the Lord. So we have to pray for these that are strayed. Sheep that are going stray. That don't understand what I've just shared with you. And I judge them. But I would not be a true pastor and have a pastor's calling and teach you as a pastor. I'm not teaching you as an apostle right now. As a pastor, I would not have it. I would not be aware of this going on. And I'm not aware, and not be aware of the fact how injurious it could be to the church, because that's how seditions and heresies and mess and gossip get in the church. You know so-and-so, he should have been in here. I'm telling you what you need to do about that. Leave that thing alone and pray. That's the pastor's calling, to gather and to guard the sheep. Because ain't nobody ignorant of what's going on around here. So keep this zip and you're going to go up the ladder. Just let me take care of whoever else, the gifts, do what they need to do. All right, because we're out there we fishing. You go out there and catch some little croakers you want to. I'm after the whale, buddy. I'll tell it like it is. Many people have heard the message of deliverance. They have even somewhat believed the message of deliverance, but they're not receiving any deliverance. And that's because many times they come in with control spirits that they haven't got free from. In other words, stole his strength. All right, Goliath has been slew. All right, now Goliath is a prisoner. All right, but Goliath is still in control because Goliath hadn't been destroyed. And David said, "I pursued my enemies and I destroyed them." All right, you have to destroy your enemies completely. And control is a very manipulative spirit. It's witchcraft. Control is witchcraft. And you know them because a leopard has spots. And they want what they want. They want it the way they want it and not the way God wants to give it. And so they'll pounce upon you and ask you to do things out of order. And so you have to not be so easily, as a soldier, manipulating. If you're under mentors and you're under apostolic leadership who are mentoring you and training you, because I know all of us got places to submit to, right? Boy, I just love the covering of a pastor. That protection, that grace, that truth, that love, that long-suffering. You can't beat that. I wouldn't miss that nugget for nothing. I won't be under somebody. Now, I'm a man that's under authority, and I'm a man that's authority in the ministry where I serve, but I am a man also under authority. All right, and I submit. I submit to my spiritual authorities, and I don't want to be out here where I'm out from under the protection of the Lord. 91 Psalms. He who dwell in the secret place that dwell under the hand of the Almighty. Well, when you're not under there, and you get all that can attack you when you're not under cover. And I think John Berea got an excellent book over there called Undercover. I read it some years ago before I even knew they carried it, I believe. Excellent book, Undercover. So you're going to get delivered from control. Now, also on your road to victory and getting some deliverance, you're going to have to deal with things that you have maybe accumulated in your lifetime. And so we're looking at Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 22 first, and deal with the fact that God's going to give you the deliverances that you need. But God is long-suffering about our deliverances. He wants to ensure that we remember the trip so that we can help somebody else. But most of us, when we learn about deliverance, we want it yesterday. Everything. I mean, just yesterday. And that's a good attitude, but you're going to have to wait and let God do it little by little. And so the scripture says in Deuteronomy 7:22, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations. You know, I see nations, I see those demonic powers or natures and characteristics before you, little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. Now, so just like God promised Israel deliverance from their enemies, little by little shall the Lord deliver us. And I don't think he's bothered about the fact we're really desperate about it. Lord, help me, I got to get free, because I am that way. And I think he appreciates that. It's just when we go and present ourselves without humility, without trusting those that God has placed in our lives to work with us, because some of this junk we picked up over a long period of time. It's going to take some time to work it out. Well, God will provide deliverance, as much deliverance that we are able to walk in, as much deliverance, as much light of His revealed Word as we are able to receive. And I think we can understand that, because we know that we all are learning and we are beginning to develop and we're beginning to grow in the things of God. And there are some things that we understand today that we would not have understood several years ago, clearly. Some that have been introduced to spiritual warfare are fearful, though, and don't believe the Lord will protect them. Now, the devil thought of that. In Numbers, the 31st chapter of Numbers, verse 1, let me take you there for a moment. I'm trying to get you ready, because you soldiers, you special operation forces, you're the disciples of the Lord. You got the power to go out and set the captives free, set your own selves free. But I'm here to encourage you today. I'm here to encourage you that you're on the right track and that God has commissioned you to do this. I remember when I used to ask God in the early years, I said, Lord, what's a miracle? And then I read in John that when he came back and he said, Lord, we forbid him from doing deliverance because he wasn't part of our team. And the Lord said, forbid him not. No man can do a miracle in my name, speak lightly. That man was out there casting out devils. And so we go to a prayer meeting, somebody don't do it quite like us. They're not doing anything wrong. They're just a little loud like Pastor is right now. Come out in the name of Jesus. You can say, well, I can have a cup of tea. Say, come out in the name of Jesus. Same thing. So I'm going to let them know, you don't need to talk loud, Tom. You don't need to talk loud. You look like somebody clean out of Hollywood somewhere. You haven't done anything. You just go in there and you just blend in there and love them about 3 or 4 weeks. Hey, Tom, what you teach? Then that week you teach on some other things that you learn. You learn to bring it in slow. And then you become a helper to your brothers who not in error. They just a little bit more charismatic. Now, that's different. They got $5 of blessed oil and some crystals. Okay. See, we want to, you know, Lord straighten out John that day. Because a man ain't walking with you 12 don't mean he ain't with me. Okay, all right. In Numbers 31, verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel, of the Midianites, these poverty demons. Boy, they make you run. They want you to pay your bills and they make you hide in the caves. Don't answer that, though. That's the insurance man. Midianite spirits. Afterward, you know, phone calls. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go out against these Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Now that's a good teaching in itself, just the Midianites. Of every tribe, 1,000, throughout all the tribes of Israel shall you send to war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel 1,000 of every tribe. 12,000 armed for war. Boy, I love war. The Lord God was a man of war and is a man of war. In fact, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they sung that song in Exodus, the 15th chapter, verse 3. The Lord our God, a man of war. That's one of the attributes of God. If you don't want that attribute, then you just tear out that part of God. You say, well, I don't want to do that, you know. Now, I don't know what else we're going to teach the rest of the week, even if I'm going to teach again, but one of my teachings is on the hindrances that many Christians have because of myths that have been sold into their spiritual gardens over the years. One big myth is that, well, they come back seven times. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says they can, but it don't say they will. All we listen to is the can. All right. Anyway. You got that one too? Well, then we can go some more with that, with generational curse. But anyway, they coming out, Landry, coming to the house of Landry, grandson. Well, I know, that's another teaching. Well, everybody gets delivered. Oh, they're going to come back. That's something to tell a baby sitting out there. Oh, Lord, just tell me what to do next, Brother Landry. Everybody come back. You told me a lot, Brother Landry. Thank you. Verse 6, and Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas and the son of Eleazar, the priest, to war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. Verse 7, and they warred against the Midianites, and the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. Then verdicts 48 and 49, we're going to see as Moses gives a report, or gets a report. In verse 48 it says, and the officers which were over the thousands of the army, the captains of the thousands and the captains of the hundreds, came near unto Moses, and they said unto Moses, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. Wow. These soldiers were under Moses' command, and not one man died. Not one man. That's awesome. Now, if God took care of his troopers that were in obedience in the Old Testament, how much better cover we have in the New? We got Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And the Bible says, nothing by any means shall hurt or harm you. And I'll tell you, like they told me when I used to work and everybody had their little slang out there, they say, who you going to believe? Who do you believe? I said, well, Brother Larry, I just can't. It's too much retaliation. That's another myth. And that's another subject. I don't know what we're going to teach. I'll just keep coming to the camps. We'll get them all out sooner or later. I just study Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for Thursday, Friday, Saturday for Sunday. Just keep going. In fact, they downloaded this to me on the internet a few minutes ago because I said I feel like the Lord said teach this. I had to download it in because I didn't even have the notes. Some of you have been watching on the internet or perhaps some this present day about all the things that are going on in our society, the television. I was doing a study here a few weeks ago and I pull up a report and I always check in the contact and the home page. I checked who these people is that build a site because they're talking Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And after I went through two dimensions of the website, I punched in another one, then Christian Science showed up. So I said, I'm going to print this down and teach the church about this because I've been telling them because our children now are just doing their research off the websites. And it's all this back mass there. So we're going to have to be a little bit more pastoral as parents and as ministers to our congregations to at least alert them to it. Maybe not we need to teach them how to use the net if we're going to allow them to use the net for research. And I knew this was taking place, and I always make a habit, as I say, if they don't want to give me information about who they are accountable to, what ministry they are affiliated with, they just want to put all this beautiful stuff about Jesus out there, 4 or 5 pages, this and that, and there's no accountability, nothing like that, I don't trust it. Amen. It might be just one word in that passage of scripture I overlooked because I was trying to read fast. And that was the one word that got me, and 5 years now I'm backsliding, y'all up here praying for me. All right, that's so much for that. I don't want to take you too much. Many Christians have enemies of God that entertain them. You can't allow the enemy to entertain you. You're supposed to love the same thing God loves. You're supposed to hate the same thing God hates. You cannot be in agreement with the Lord when you're being entertained every day by evil thoughts. Got tobacco spirits sending you outside to puff instead of hearing the word. I just got to get one little hit. Come on, step up to the plate, man and woman of God. You ought to know that there must be a problem there You say, well, there's no scripture in there about smoking. Well, got a lot of scriptures about backsliding. You can't even hear the word. You got to go outside. No, I'm not saying we got people, all kind of people coming. I mean, I used to be one, you know what I mean? Okay, so that's not a problem. I'm not putting down the smokers on the person that got to have that alcohol because you got that lip, what they call that dip? You put a dip on your mouth, smell like a lamentine. Some of them got smart now, they drank vodka. But anyway, no smell.
Listerine.
Hey, you're drinking. All right, so this is what we're here for. We're here to help you, and we want to get you delivered, but we want you to face your giant. Okay? Go out there and grab your cigarette if that's what you got to do. You know, kick your horse, whatever they call it, anyway. But to come back in, and at the end of the service, don't say at the end of the camp meeting, Pastor Landry, nobody would pray for me. Do y'all have prayer time? You show up here, we start at 3, you show up at 3:30. We say 11, you say 11:30. Got so much tradition in you, all traditions say, come late. Well, doors open at 5. Most of the problems that we have in this issue, and I was one of them, so I'm talking from experience. You can't, man should be preaching what he lives. All right? And if not, then you ought to start developing your teaching gifts. Mm-hmm. All right? Most of the problems is a result of hate of submission. Don't want to submit to authority because there's rebellion in us. And we want to do it our way. You the man. And you refuse to find yourself accountable to another man's work. Not you. Remember, I'm talking to I don't know how many people around the nation, but I do know they're watching, and overseas. In Luke 16, chapter verse 12, it talks about that you need to be faithful in another man's work. How God's going to give you your own ministry if you're not faithful in another man's ministry. Some of us have never, not us, but some of us around the world have never been faithful in another man's work. And we use the old common cliche, there's nobody doing deliverance. Man, I can drive in the city within 2 or 3 days. But see, I ain't going down there where they got 550 so you can be number C499. I'm going where they got 12, 7, 3, 38, 52. Need a new roof. You're going somewhere where you can get married. Get buried. That's all right. Oh, Lord. So you got to change your purpose and what you're trying to do. Okay. All potential leaders of God should possess accountability. They should have ability. They should be responsible. And they should be with authority from God. These are four essential elements to enter into servanthood or as a potential leader. But many will not submit. Got to submit. You want to grow? You want protection, you want cover, then you're going to have to repent. Because there's very few of us that God has not entrusted with us this great revelation, this great understanding of spiritual warfare. There's very few of us that have not been in contention with those that we have served with, those that we are under, those in our community. I mean, let's face it, we're the oddball on the block. And so you have to be delivered of bitterness and resentment. And when I teach on the hindrances, which may not even be this week, one of the things that you'll learn about Jesus' ministry, he didn't waste his time with those that were obstinate and unteachable. So there's plenty fertile ground out there for us to go out there and fertilize, unless you just want to complain to Brother Jim all week long about nobody wanting to hear your truths. If God has given you some measure of truth, I guarantee you, you open the door, but you may not want to go at 3 o'clock in the morning down to the bus station to meet old Joe. Duh. I'm going to have to cut that out because now I got a couple of children in the church doing that. I heard there was something in the room the other night. I'm like, duh. I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to deliver these babies. Because I explained to them what I mean by that, though, you know. And they say, okay, well, Pastor, you still have to do it. Or they call me Papa. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 25, let's clean out our house. We got a lot of stuff we got to get out of the house. And some of us want to hold on to a lot of them trophies, you know. Them 5 engagement rings and them watches and stuff that was given to us and them pictures, them old military pictures when we was out on Bourbon Street. Well, I know how it is. Been there, done that. And so I don't know what the trophies are, but you know what the trophies are. You know, mine was coffee, and I got delivered a drink of coffee. Then after a year and a half, I went back and started drinking a little bit. I mean, conquered the giant. And watches used to be, I used to collect watch. Well, no, I used to like really like special gold watches and stuff. I do have quite a few watches now, but not like I did. And they don't cost as much anymore. You can get a real good discount when you go on a cruise, $69. Barbecuing used to be my God. So I want to break it down to the, in case you can't find yourself in this thing, barbecuing. So when I first got saved, I thought I was the greatest cook to America. And so I had this beautiful barbecue pit. I towed it down to my friend's house. His name, no, I can't see it. Anyway, he saved too. But anyway, I ain't going to call his name. I don't know. And so I brought my tape, my barbecue pit, and Chris, his wife, said, "Well, Jim, why you bring your pit down here?" I said, "Listen, God just showed me this is an idol to me. This is an idol." And she just said, "Okay," she called her and said, "But Jim, bring the pit over here." He says, "All right." He said, my friend just took, he said, "Okay, man." He took it in the back. And we all got saved like a month apart. And that was in our first 6 months. So that was my issue. Now I got a nice pit in the backyard and everybody want me to barbecue for them. Man, that's a different thing now. When it's too hot, I ain't doing it. All right. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 25, it says, "And the graven images of their gods," and God's talking to the Israelites, he's talking to you and I too, "shall you burn with fire, that thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take unto to thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God." Then God says, "Neither shall thou bring an abomination into your house." And a lot of people have problems in their home because they brought in abominations. And that's just too long of a study we did teaching on idolatry, and we can cover that in more detail. But a lot of the issues people are having in their house because they have cursed objects, cursed pictures on the wall. I have confusion at the house. My wife, she laughed about that today. Because I mentioned it somewhere at a teaching in the last 6 weeks. I don't know if I was over out of town or at our local church, but I told my wife, I said, "You're going to have to take that picture off the wall. I am so confused about that." She looked at me, and she said, "Okay." And so she didn't take it off. So about a week later, I got rid of it. And it was the Lord's Supper. And I just, you know, the Lord's Supper is fine. But when I saw them guys up there talking, I said, "Hey, something ain't right," but I got confused. But they may not do nothing to you, but that's what it did for me. Exactly. And so you got to find what's going to work and what God is telling you to work on you with. And another man's house, that may not have been anything. You see, it was my issue. It was the way God was bringing me up. "Lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." So God is here warning Israelites before they go into the promised land to be separate, not take on the gods, not intermarry, not get involved, and they did everything he told them not to do. He did it all. They did it all. God hates idolatry, and he told Israel this. And he said, "The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire." Well, we just want to tear it up, put it in a brown bag, throw it in the garbage can. And then the enemy sends a Siamese cat. Cat comes down the road. Cat gets into the garbage can. Cat pulls the doll, the Japanese doll out that you brought in from Japan 28 years ago. The cat takes it about four houses down. And about 3 years later, they walk around there going like Japanese, studying Japanese in college, telling you Buddha is God. And you say, "Well, I'm trying to tell you about Jesus." You say, "What happened to my neighbors?" Now, about a year passed after that. Then you see the little granddaughter out there praying with your doll because you wouldn't burn it. You're too good to burn it. Mm-hmm. I know, you're going to mess up your barbecue pit. Now you got two idols you got to deal with. Y'all don't believe that happened? I got a little niece. Well, she ain't a little niece no more. She's about 22. When she was a little girl, she told me and her grandma, well, her auntie, my wife, that this cat keep coming to the door and talking to her. Well, we believe it. And her mama was in deliverance, or her grandmama. No, that'd be her mama, yeah, because she's up there grown now. And so they start doing deliverance on that child. She'll tell you to this day, that cat came up there and was talking to her. I don't know. I never asked if his name was Garfield. I never thought about that. I see, I might ask her. Well, I may not bring it up now. Well, the Lord desires to refine you and I also with his word. God wants to purify us with the fire of God's word. Amen? Many believers have not allowed the Lord to refine them. They operate like what do they call those people who run behind these movie stars with the cameras? Paparazzi! Yeah, that's all many Christians do right now. Chasing religious rainbows, wide open, undisciplined, full of religious spirits. And if they don't repent, Jesus is going to tell them too, I don't know you. Work up iniquity. Lord, well, didn't I cast out devils, heal many sick, do many wonderful works? Jesus said, I know you're not. You're work of iniquity. You're rebellious. You have no accountability in your life. You were out there. You was out on your own. And you cannot make it in special forces alone. It takes team ministry. I need you and you need me. And I ain't talking about no Barney either. You need to get delivered from that devil. Homosexual spirits. Now, I love the homosexual person. Now, we'll help you. It's okay. We've worked with a lot of them. Dave, all of them. We all worked with them over the years. That's not what I'm saying right now. I'm just saying that, you know, don't leave out of here this week if you need to get some prayer. Amen? Some deliverance. That's all I'm saying. Well, in Numbers, the 33rd chapter. Come on, we got time. I'm going to take you some deliverance prayers, the Lord prevent, in a few minutes. But first, I just want to encourage you. I want to get you charged, get your military charge up, get you fired up, and do everything I can to yoke you back tonight so you won't go out there and do things until you leave. Because, you know, when that's what happens when you get in deliverance, man. Everybody starts saying, man, look at it. It's a sight of heaven in the name of God. Come on. Pray for healing. It's the believer's ministry. It's supposed to get you motivated, but you're going to have to restrain yourself while you're here right now. All right? Because we got certain order and stuff. And then maybe about two or three meetings, I keep watching. I'll say, come up here and help me. And we'll slow your work in there. And that's how it's supposed to be. Not just the first day you show up and I'm ready to go out there and lay hands on everybody, husband and wife. And then when the deliverance message is being taught, you out there. I mean, Lord help him. Lord help him. Y'all think I'm playing? Y'all be seeing me walk around? I'll be out there trying to rescue. I'm out there fishing, buddy. I'm just telling you what's happening in-house here. You ask them if I came to them, any one of them out there in an unprofessional, ungodly way, you ask them. They'll tell you. No, not Brother Jim. No. I'm out there. I'm trying to win them. And Numbers, the 33rd chapter, verse 50. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan in the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. You shall destroy all of their pictures, destroy all of their molten images, quite pluck down all of their high places, and you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land. In other words, replace it with my word. And dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. God gave the command to his people to drive out all the inhabitants of the land. Well, I remember one time an individual came to me. David knew about pursuing his enemy and destroying all of the enemy. And this individual came, and I have to admit it was a little lack of experience on my part too, because he was sincere, and the problem was alcohol. And I just loved that brother. He come into the platform. We got up there. We got in some chairs. I don't know how much time I spent with him. And he really believed he got some victory. And I kind of believed it too. I saw the little glow there. And I said, well, praise God. You know, because God does things supernaturally. And it's nothing has to register with me. It's you know, it's all about a changed life. You know, and so it's measured over the person's walk over a period of time. And so I was convinced that God had done a work. So we went outside. He was excited. I was excited. Not that religious excitement. I mean, this was a serious, matured individual, went outside and was ready to move on in their life because they had got some victory. And everybody was sitting out there just as calm as they can be. They reached in there and got the Paul Mail or wherever he was. He might have been Mr. Cool, I don't know, and he fired him up. And I said, hey, bro, I didn't know you had that too. We can work on it. He said, why didn't you come for that one? I'm all right. No, that was my fault. That was my problem. Because I didn't do enough pre-counseling and getting information so I can help him and get him to see a little bit more vision in the deliverance ministry. I didn't blame him. I went back and started putting myself together, my tools and my research, so I can do pre-counseling before deliverance. You know, some people say, well, you know, and then you didn't curse and now you're back on alcohol. For I hope the man never took another drop. And I hope he getting delivered from this too. Okay. I don't know. I hope he is though. Well, the Lord gave us power to drive out our enemy also, but you're going to have to drive him out. You're going to have to drive him out. God gave the Israelites power. He did not tell them to make friends with the inhabitants of the lands.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC bibleschoolonline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.